Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I'm your host as well as chief encourager. So on today's show, I have something super special for you guys, and even more special to me, we're chatting with five of my closest girlfriends. Now the backstory is, we've been friends since our college days. We're known as the Fab Five Plus One, and we've traveled together, celebrated together, cried together, and triumphed together. Most important, we've supported each other, listened to one another's dreams, and given advice even when it wasn't requested. These are more than my friends. They're the women that you are about to meet, and they are my sisters, and today I'm sharing them with you guys. So this episode is the Fab Five Plus One as they join us for a conversation on career, life, and friendship. So first up, we have Kantasia. Kantasia is a former roommate of mine. She's the well-informed researcher of the group that always has her finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world and in her industry. She's resourceful in her professional life and one of the most dependable people that I know in her personal life. Now we have Kristen. Actually, you guys, they're kind of sitting in the order, almost. Okay, so next we have Kristen. She's the safe yet stealth businesswoman. It seems like this one has her life figured out before we even crossed the stage at graduation. She had it all figured out because she is intentional with her success. Our finance wizard started off in aerospace technology, transitioned to food and beverage, doing a stint at Coca-Cola, and now spends her days in a place most could only dream of, a world filled with coffee. She's mom to the first little one of the crew, and her hubby, her and her hubby are the prime entertainers of the bunch as well. Now, next up we have Sini, my former roommate as well, and the listener that we all need in our lives, who can also show up in any room and command the attention of crowds. She is our people magnet. That's probably why her company quickly sniffed her out and her strengths and talents and moved her from San Francisco to New York to keep killing it. She is also a SPQer, having started her career in fashion merchandising. Then we have Tamra. Many see the glitz and glam that she emits, but I see the beauty of her heart. She is respected and highly sought after hairstylist with hands-on magic who is based out of LA. When we first met, she was a wardrobe stylist for celebrities. Even though her career has changed, her fashion have stayed the same, flawless. Trinica. Next we have Trinica, and this is last but certainly not least. She's the definition of perseverance, hurtling through her countless roadblocks to come out on top like the true star that she is. Our resident lawyer in the group, this beauty graduated from Southern Law School in Louisiana and now lends her talents to the tech world, zipping from Atlanta to New York, taking care of business. All right, so now that you guys know who all of these ladies are, a bit about, you know, how we sort of know each other, I'm going to also let them tell it in their words. Like I said, we've known each other since our college days, and everyone sitting here has made an SPQ, whether big or small. So I want to start by going around the room and everyone just introduce yourself again, you saying your own name, obviously, this time, and just tell us a little bit about what your career was in your 20s, like your early 20s, what it is now, and how you and I met.
I go first?
Yes.
Sure. Hello, my name is Kantasia Placide. My first job out of college was an account coordinator at an advertising agency in Los Angeles, California. My main priority or my main role at that job was essentially to be the liaison between my company and my client. So I worked with our planning team who gather insights, our creative team, and our print and broadcast teams to take an idea from conception all the way to a final product. And at that time, it was TV commercials, radio commercials, billboards, and at the time, it was like digital was just emerging, so small digital ads online.
And what do you do now?
And now I am an event producer at a civic tech nonprofit in San Francisco. So we partner with governments to make services more efficient for citizens. So essentially, we try to incorporate tech to make processes more efficient. Like, if you know anything about governmental services, like they tend to be slow and ineffective. So our goal is to really partner with the people who are doing the work every day and make it more efficient and easier for them as well as for everyone who needs it. So whether you're trying to apply for food stamps, stay out of jail for things that are unnecessary like bench warrants because you can't get to see your probation officer because you're trying to keep this job, and then keeping like some of the most vulnerable populations employed.
Okay, and how did we meet?
We met on the quad at Long Beach State. I think that's how I met all of you guys, except for Trinica and Sini and Tamara. But yeah, that's where we met.
Okay, so next up, Kristen.
Hello, everybody. Kristen Jones. First job out of college. I think since high school, I always knew I loved math. I always knew I loved business. And one of my math teachers in high school showed me the list of careers you could do if you were, you know, a person that wanted to keep numbers in your life. And I saw this role of a CFO and I was like, oh, I want to be that. And so right first day of college, I pretty much knew my major was business administration with a concentration in finance, kicked through that in 4 years. And then I got a job with a company called Raytheon, which is an aerospace and defense company. And they had this really cool leadership development program for finance where I got to rotate around, learn what I liked. And so that was great. Got to live on the East Coast, too. So I just knew that was perfect for me. So that was the first job I had. And then now, today, I'm still in finance. I love numbers. But after I got my MBA, I decided to transition and pivot to consumer products. And so today, I work for a coffee company called Pete's Coffee. And it's a Bay Area-based company. And then according to us, we have the best coffee in the world to offer to consumers. So, I really love it there. And then how Angel and I met, we met in class. We had a class together, and we just immediately gravitated towards each other. And then we both found out we were from the Bay Area. And so then we both found out we lived on campus, and then we both found out that we had to eat campus food. So anyways, pleasure to be on the podcast.
Yay. Sini next.
So Sini Clark, my first real job out of college was at JCPenney's in the manager training program. I really, you know, thought I wanted to be in merchandising and buying at the time, so that was like a perfect fit. But I am no longer in that industry. So I am now in the operations role at Spotify, and I help with the design and product insights team, doing operations, so keeping the team together, handling social events, social impact work, and just anything that can bring the team together, you know, outside of their daily work. And how we met, I believe, like Tay said, in the quad. Mm-hmm. That was where we all hung out, and we all kind of gravitated to each other because we were all from the Bay Area, so.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Next up,
Trinica. Hey. My name is Trinica Fields, and my first job right out of college was 21st Century Insurance. I was a claims adjuster. And I knew I wanted to go to law school, but it wasn't in the cards at the time. And so I needed a job, and there was 21st Century Insurance. So I did that, and a year later I decided, okay, you know what? Law school is really where I'm trying to hit. And I want to see if this is something I really want to do. So I decided to go to paralegal school. And so I finished the two-year program in a year. And there was a job posting with 21st Century Insurance at the time looking for a corporate paralegal. And I was like, I'm applying for this job. And I did, and I got it. And so that's when my law career really started. And what do I do now? I work for a tech company. I just actually started a new job.
Yay!
I did my pivot, I guess you will, from a software tech company to an actual full-on tech company based in New York. Company's called Flashpoint. And what we do basically is we mitigate the risk and liability for Fortune 500 companies and governmental entities and business risk intelligence. So they've actually done a pivot from cybersecurity and coined it as business risk intelligence. So not only are we mitigating the risk and liability from a corporate standpoint, but also for their executives. So I negotiate all of the deals on behalf of the company. They don't have an in-house legal department, so it's kind of great for me. It's a lot of work, but it's great. And so that's that. And how we met. We met on a quad through Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been cool ever since.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I actually remember the first day that we met. So I met Kristen in class. I think it was a Black Studies class.
Black Studies,
yeah. Met Kristen in class, found out that she knew my cousin's cousin from home, and that instantly connected us even more. Then she brought me back to the dorms,
because
you guys lived in a different set of dorms, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And then that's when I met you outside of the cafeteria, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And I heard about your wild night prior, and I was like, oh, this girl likes to get down. Okay, she likes to hang out.
I don't believe that.
And I've been loving her ever since. All right. And so last but certainly not least, we have Miss Tamara. Yes.
Well, I had so many pivots.
Here we are.
When we first all met, I was working in insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to do that shit, right? So then I was also wardrobe styling part-time. But I would, like, take days off of work to try to do a music video. And I'm like, okay, so I have to quit something. So I quit the job as an insurance person and did wardrobe styling full-time. Not really making any money, but I thought it was like what I wanted to do. This is my goal in life. This is what I wanted to do. So I did wardrobe styling. I was styling the celebrities, still not making any money, still having panic attacks, like still stressed out. But I just knew I wanted to be like a wardrobe stylist. Like, this is what I wanted to do. So I would be like working 24 hours, just pulling clothes, shopping, everything.
Didn't you even style the early Rihanna?
Yeah. Rihanna. I work with pretty much not every celebrity, but like every big celebrity work with.
Yes.
Like
Jay-Z.
They're big in the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's like if Instagram and social media was around back then,
right.
I would be popping.
Right.
Yeah. I would be like for real popping. Like, yes. No, like damn.
Right?
Okay. So then I was probably like getting into my late 20s and I'm just like, okay, it has to be something else I could do. You know, as well as do the wardrobe styling, like, so I can get all the checks, like, do, you know, just be the celebrity one-stop shop. So then the guy I was with at the time was like, you know, like, you should do hair, like, you should, because, you know, I was doing my own hair, like, I knew how to do my own hair
and mine
and everyone else's hair. I did.
You kept me fly.
I did all of my friends' hair. And then he's like, okay, well, maybe you should do, you know, hair, open up a shop or something. So I'm like, okay, well, I probably should go to hair school or something for that. But I don't really know. Because it was like, I don't really want to do hair. Like, I really didn't want to do hair. But I went to hair school. And when I went to hair school, it was like the best decision I ever made, because it was so easy for me and it was so, like, it just came second nature. It was just so natural. So I finished it within like 10 months. Like, I was not playing. For one, I didn't want to have hella loans. Like, because every time that you're late from hair school, you have to, they charge you, like, you have to pay. It's you know, it's like hello. So I was like, okay, I'm getting this done in like the 10 months and I'm gonna be done. And then when I finished, I immediately went back to the industry, like, okay, I'm gonna do videos and stuff for hair. And I quickly realized that I don't want to do that. So I want to be in a salon. So then I went to a salon and I loved it because I, you know, it was just easy. It was consistent. you know, I didn't really have to worry about anything. It was just easy. And then a friend of mine needed a makeup artist. They were like a basketball wife, needed a makeup artist. So then I reached out to my friend who was a makeup artist. And then my friend got a reality show. And so once she got the reality show, she reached out to me. So it was kind of like I gave her a job and she gave me a job and blah, 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 blah. So then that's how I got into reality TV. And so then from then, other networks will then reach out to you and so forth and so forth. And so then it's like, then your business and everything just keeps growing and growing and growing. And now I'm going to switch over into another entrepreneur business with like my own products and hairline. So that'll be launching in January.
Woo!
Yes.
Cheers to that.
Clink, clink, clink. So that's another thing. And then how I met Angel was a college trip, I guess, to Palm Springs.
Yes.
Graduation celebration.
Through we all had this mutual friend because it's like all the Bay people who came to LA, yes. Like we all stick together.
Yes. Right.
It's like if you're from the Bay and LA, yeah. We all are together. So we all went on this like college trip to Palm Springs and they didn't want to let me go. So like over 10 years later, they still love me. So I'm here and now we're doing this fabulous podcast and
with the Fab Five Plus One.
Yes. So now I want to ask you ladies, because now that you've been down memory lane a little bit, like how you started and what that was like, we want to know how you felt. How would you describe the early you and the you that was in her 20s, like trying to figure it all out with your life, your career? Just, I mean, like people act like this whole life thing is easy. You're just supposed to do one thing after the next and it just works. But we all know that's not that easy. So how would you describe the you that was in your early 20s? Anybody?
I'm going to just jump in since I kind of was talking about it. My early 20s, I always felt like you had more time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a sense of urgency to figure out my life and have my career goals. Like I don't want to say it's a regret because I try not to regret anything.
Right.
But I wish in my 20s I had a little bit more structure because I was just winging it. And anything that I wanted to do, I did. But I did get a lot of life lessons though.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say it's not a regret. Because I traveled, I got to meet a lot of different people. It was just a free for all. I was definitely broke my whole 20s though.
Right.
So, you know,
yeah.
Broke. Like, yeah. My whole 20s.
Yeah.
But we were so rich.
Yeah, we were definitely rich. Yeah, Because I always had a car. I always had my own place.
We traveled. We did things. Like, we still managed to make it to
the All-Star Game. Yeah, All-Star Game.
Yeah. Including that one time we kept repeating outfits in Atlanta because we kept getting stuck in traffic in the car and nobody ever saw our outfit. We were like, oh, I'm wearing this somewhere.
Somebody's gonna see it.
So yeah, I think we all went through that time where you know, I really agree with what you say. Like, I feel like in my 20s, I felt like I had forever. Like, I felt like I was gonna live forever. Everything was everything. And I didn't have this sense of urgency. Like, I had a sense of urgency to get a job, but I didn't have a sense of urgency, like, you need to figure out your life. What is this gonna be? So I feel you when you say that. Like, it's like, I felt like I had all the time in the world, but now
in your 30s, you're like, wait, what?
Right.
How old am I? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's real. You felt a little more like going off the whole, you thought you had more time. It's like what you were doing at that time was okay.
Exactly.
You wasn't thinking beyond that point in time in your life. It's like what I'm doing, it's working.
Yeah.
Okay, let's roll with it.
Right.
I think it was a thing of, like, for me, like, now that I can look back at who I was in my 20s, I thought I had it together. You know what I mean? Like, my goal was always to be better than the last generation. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, hey, I graduated college, I have this job, I'm at an ad agency. Woo, I'm living this life. But it's just like, now I was like, there were so many things that I didn't know that I wish I did know at the time that I think could have propelled me into a different level of success. But I'm truly thankful for, like, the life lessons that I learned at the time that's kind of helped guide me where I am today. But on that thing of time, like, I'm at that point right now where I'm like, I get what the older people say, like, time waits for no one.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just like, there were some things that I wish I knew in my 20s that I didn't, but, like, I'm happy to help, like, that next generation figure it out sooner so that they can be the best person they can be, you know?
Right. So, speaking on that, what's one thing that you wish that, because we're obviously talking about how we didn't realize what our 20s really were. We were just kind of coasting through. What is something that you would tell somebody that's in their 20s right now to maybe help them take advantage or redirect maybe their concentration in their 20s because maybe they don't get what their 20s really is for them?
One thing I would say is, you know, as far as career wise, don't stay at the same job for too long.
Oh yeah.
You know, definitely in this, I think for our parents, it was like, okay, you know, you get an education or you do whatever you need to do and you stay at that job and you be proficient in whatever it is that you're doing and you just excel at it and you stay there for 10, 15 years.
Right.
Well, times have changed.
And at that time, companies were loyal to employees.
Yes.
Right.
And I think right now it's the opposite. I think employees are more loyal to the companies and vice versa, you know, more so than companies are loyal to the employees. Second thing I would say is be patient. And I think I'm still at 36 trying to work on that, being patient. In both professionally and personally, you know, I was with someone, my friend's looking at me right now because she's like, yeah, be patient. She's learning.
Progress, girl.
Yeah, progress. You know, we're still in work in progress. I was in a relationship very early on and I thought I really wanted to be with that person for the rest of my life. And it didn't turn out that way. He's a great guy, but, you know, I think I rushed it. You know, I wasn't ready at the time. And, you know, I'd say that to say both in your professional and your personal career, just be patient and just enjoy your 20s. Don't worry about getting tied up. You know, if you find a soulmate, good for you. But if not, enjoy your life and just try different things and see what makes you tick. You know, what grabs you, what excites you. Because you don't want to be in a situation where it's considered a job. You want to be in something that you love. Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
I have a question. Once you're done.
Oh, go ahead.
My question is for Kristen. Because I feel like Kristen was able to do it all.
Yeah. Yes,
I feel like you had a relationship in our 20s, the whole 20s.
Yeah.
You had the relationship, like, steady for sure and then you had the corporate job
today
right okay. So then you had the corporate job where it was like if you wanted to that was a career,
yeah,
you know, and you also was still able to go to Atlanta with us, so how you know, like in every other city and every other place we went and live in DC
while having a boyfriend,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. How were you able to manifest it all and to do it all so well? Yeah. What do you think?
You know, I think for those that don't know on the podcast, I have a 3-year-old daughter, which is really fun. And I think, you know, once you have a child, it brings you into perspective on a couple of things. So the first thing is your childhood really does impact you as an adult.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
And I was very fortunate. I was brought up in a very happy home. Like my dad, who I call my dad, he's not my biological father, but he married my mom when I was about 2.5. So, you know, he's like my dad. He and many of you at this table would agree, he's literally the happiest person. You know? Mm-hmm. He's never sad. He's never down. He never say anything bad about anyone. But not a pushover. He's just a very sweet person. And I think when you grow up in a very happy household, it really does change you as an adult. I've always had a very positive outlook on life. Mm. And I always felt like, I don't like to say the sky's the limit, but I always felt like I could achieve whatever I dreamed of that was realistic. So meaning like, maybe I know one day I'm not going to be Beyonce, even though I think I can sing or whatever. That lower level dream would be I could be a lounge singer because I love to sing. I know I can achieve that because I can work hard and do it. And so I've just always been, again, a happy person. And I just felt like if I work hard, I can get what's attainable. Not a million miles away, but attainable, because that's the first step to doing something. So I think I just always knew what I liked. I always kind of just gravitated toward what I was good at. And I think the last thing I would say is I've always had mentors. I've always had mentors for everything in my life, for relationships, for work, for happiness, for relaxation. I've always had a mentor in some way, all different people, all different ages, to ask questions of and figure out how to do things. And I really try to not make the mistakes my mother or my aunts or people in my family have made. I learn from them without doing them. So an example would be my aunt. She had many abusive relationships in her life. And so I was just like, oh, no, I won't be doing that. Mm-hmm. If you meet a guy, sense some of that, you out. I'm out. Mm-hmm. Or even like, you know, going to college, like, oh, I think I can graduate for 4 years. My dad put himself through college, worked in the cafeteria, had to peel potatoes every night. Mm. I think I got this because I don't have to work 40 hours a week to graduate from college. So I would say back to in your 20s, what you need to do is reflect on who you gravitate towards, and maybe an older person that you see has a life that you would want, even at 21 and 22, and ask them questions. Ask them what they did to get there. Ask them the adversity they've been through. Maybe you can relate to that, but they've all done something different to get to where they're at, to make them successful in whatever way you deem that to be. And I do think people in your lives that are older than you really do have a lot of wisdom to share, and you really should take it and swallow it. You don't have to take everything. Right. You take the stuff that makes sense to you in your life. Mm-hmm. Even today, my husband and I have many mentors in our lives, older couples or even family members that we look to for coaching. We look to for breaking it down. Like, shit, we're tired. Is this okay? Were you tired of this stage? Were you hella tired? When you have time, you have to work, you have to pay all these bills. Yes, you were, but you'll get through it. It's a stage. Focus on it's a stage. I was in that stage. I'm out of it. You'll be out of it too.
It's a season, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think in your 20s, you don't realize like everything's a season, but it is. And so what you want to do is be smart during your season. And you want to just make sure you have that competitive edge by asking people questions and doing what they didn't do or doing it better, and you'll be fine.
And I just want to say, this was the one who would have never gotten married.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. She's the first one married.
Yes. Yeah. And the first one married. Yeah. 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 I never wanted kids or to get married.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not about doing it all.
Yeah.
Right.
So what out of, for this question is for everyone, obviously. Everything is for everyone. Of your strengths, which one would you say has significantly helped you to get where you are today? We've obviously talked about and covered some of the ground of what, you know, trials and tribulations we've been through. What of your personal strengths has helped you to sort of be the woman that you are today?
Okay,
sure.
This is Trinica. So I would say my strength is perseverance. I lost my mom at a very young age. I was 5. My mom was murdered in front of me. And I didn't know at the time that law was actually going to be a part of my life. And it started at 5. I always knew that I wanted to be a doctor. And I went through the court system, both, you know, to make sure that the man who took my mother's life stayed in jail. And I had to see him every 4 years to make sure he stays there. And, you know, I went through law school. And, you know, all my girlfriends knew that this was a dream of mine. And I always talked about it. And so many doors had closed before I actually got accepted. And I think I went through that process for 6 years. Mm. And one thing I can say about my girlfriends is that they never told me not to live out my dream. They always encouraged me. to stay focused, and they never stopped me. You know, they always believed in me. And finally, that one day, that door opened, and I got through law school and didn't pass on the first time. Didn't pass on the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't pass on the third time.
Perseverance.
And Louisiana, I finally passed the Louisiana bar, which is the hardest bar in the country. And I finally passed that bar. And so, yeah, I would say perseverance is definitely my strength. Sometimes, you know, some people may look at it as relentless. I don't give up on anything in my life. And I try to work as hard as I can. So, you know, and where I am today is because of my perseverance. And I think that speaks true for all of us. You know, all of us women are very strong, opinionated at some times.
Aren't we all?
But yeah, I think that's what my strongest strength, my strength comes from is my perseverance.
Anybody else want to share what their strength has been to get them to where they are?
I would say just being true to myself. And no matter if, you know, people, like you said, we have a very opinionated group. you know, some people may say you shouldn't be doing this or that, or maybe you should act this way towards that person. But, I mean, for me, it's just being true to myself, no matter, like, what others think. And I think that's kind of one of the things that has saw me up to this point and will keep me going.
I don't know what mine is. No, I'm just kidding.
No?
You know what?
You do.
I think my strength is my mouth. My ability to talk my way in and out of stuff. And you know what? I attribute that to, I'm similar to Kristen in that I was raised by my stepdad, but I don't call him my stepdad because that's just my dad. That's all I've ever known. He came into my life when I was like 3. But he even said the other night how if he was me, he was like, I was thinking about it the other day, and if I were you, I'd probably hate me. And I was like, damn. Because he didn't know how to be a dad. It was like he was jumped into this situation, and all of a sudden he had to be this microwave dad. But he was still young. When I think about it, he was like maybe 25. So how are you then a dad to like a 3-4-year-old and properly, you know, helping them to do everything that needs to be done? And I remember some of the things that he did and said, and some of that stuff has stuck with me. But it's also made me the person that I am. And him and I have a great relationship now. We're like BFFs, both of my parents. But one of the things that I always remember is that I had to talk my way into stuff. In high school, if I wanted to go to a basketball game, if I wanted to do anything, it would be like, why? Why should you be able to go? And this was all coming from my dad. This wasn't coming from my mom. So I had to convince. I had to make a compelling argument. I had to be like super convincing, like I should be able to go because this, that, and that. I've done this. I've done that. I just had to sell it. So as much as I consider myself not a salesperson, I do know that if my back is against the wall and I need to be convincing, I can be convincing. Right. If I need you to think a certain way, I can get you to think a certain way. Right. Yeah. Because I know I was in those situations where I didn't even know what I was doing, but I had to do it. Mm-hmm. So that trained me to be who I am now. That's why I feel like in job interviews and things like that, I don't stress about that stuff. I'm like, I got it. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll be able to talk to you. I'll be able to say what I think you want to say. All of that because I'm not slow with my words. Right. Like, I know how to just put it out there and say what I need to say. So I'd say that's my strength, is being able to talk and convince people and just effectively communicate. Let's say that's the PC way, effectively communicate. Yeah.
I'm going to piggyback on that because I also think that is my strength is confidence. Confidence is a huge strength of mine because even if I don't know what I'm doing, in my mind, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
So and I can convince you to believe that I know what I'm doing.
Right.
So I don't know if that's like a Leo trait. I don't know if that's Leo.
It might be,
but I honestly feel like I could do anything, even if I didn't go to school for it, or even if I don't know anything about it. Like, I could do each one of you guys' job, honestly. And I say that, like, so convincingly.
I don't know if you could do mine.
I can't, though. Like, honestly, like, even though people be like, well, how, who taught you how to do hair? Are you only been doing hair for 6 years? I'm like, yeah, for 6 years. Like, that's it. They think I've been doing hair for, like, 20 years or something like that. And I'm like, no, but my confidence, I really feel like I could do anything.
Right.
And that is one of my greatest strengths. And then when you asked that question the first time, I didn't know what my answer was going to be.
Mm.
And then once I heard yours and, you know, I hear everybody's, I'm like, okay, that's, I agree with that. I agree mm-hmm. with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that mine is definitely, like, confidence. Like, I really feel like I could do anything.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of times now people see me and like they say, how do you like manage and you juggle everything? And it's like, from where I'm from, you can't go back. You know, there's no going back. You only can go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why would you even want to go back? Not necessarily meaning like go back to the Bay or anything like that, but meaning like, you don't want to go back to an old situation.
Right.
You want to just keep going until you get to your top.
Yeah.
You know, then there's no cap on it. It's no such thing as like, oh, you just stay at this level. There's always another level to be obtained.
Oh, yeah.
And to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's my, like, a strength of mine. It's the confidence to, like, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you don't really believe in yourself. Even
mm-hmm.
there's so many times where I don't believe in myself. And that kind of, like, I may procrastinate or I may take a little longer to do it. Because you like, damn, I really don't know if I could do this. But I'm going to do it. Because you have no choice but to do it.
Right.
So
that's just kind of like life. We have no choice but to try and win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, everything is not always going to work out exactly perfect how you want it and how you think it should and all that. But if you don't at least try, you can't look back and say like, oh, you know, like I at least gave it everything I had. You'd have to look back and say, I thought about it. Yeah, maybe it could have happened. Like, who wants to be one of those people? Yeah. Yeah. So what would you ladies say has, I know we've covered a lot of what you've done and everything, but what would you say, either personal or professional, has been a pivotal or defining moment in your life?
Passing a bar.
Yeah.
You know, because I felt like even though I was, after I graduated from law school and I still was in the legal field, I still felt unfulfilled. I felt like there was a void.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I still hadn't accomplished what I had set out to do. So I would say passing the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story that I never really shared with anyone. But I remember the day that I passed the bar. My aunt, who I love, and if I swear if it wasn't for her, I probably would be crazy right now. But she would come every time my bar results were coming near. And I remember the day, the morning I passed the bar, and she walked outside on my balcony, and she was out there, and she was out there for about maybe 10 minutes. And she came back in, and she said, you know, I just looked at the sky, and I just prayed to your mom and your uncle and your grandmother for, you know, giving you the strength to get through this. And I know how, you know, difficult it was. I know the journey that you came from. And you know, I was like, wow, thank you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went to the bathroom. Let me back up. So she didn't tell me that story until we got into the car. So she went to the bathroom, and she was taking her shower. And so I was just sitting there because I'm just shocked. Like, I'm really an attorney now. Like, all this hard work. Like, today is it. I'm an attorney. And I remember sitting on the couch, and I was thanking my mom, you know, because I've always felt her presence. Since I was a little girl, I always felt that she was near me. It's just something, just like a hair on the back, like they say, raise up on you, you know, on the back of your neck. I've always felt her presence. And I remember sitting on the couch And I kid you not, the door was closed. The balcony door was closed. And all of a sudden, the door just opened. It was like a wind. Mm. Like, just blew the door open. And it was as if I felt her presence. Mm. And I knew that I don't want to cry, but I knew that she was there.
Right.
And I knew that she was with me every step of the way. Even though she wasn't here physically, she was there.
Right.
And she made sure her baby got to where she needed to be. Mm-hmm. And so I was in the car with my aunt, and we left. And she told me she had went outside to pray to my mom. And I knew right then and there that was her. That was right. Her that came in to my place and wrapped her arms around me and said, my baby finally did it. Mm. Mm. And so, you know, I know that, I don't know where I was going. I just got in the moment. But I know that she was there.
Right.
You know, and I know that she's brought you guys in my life for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, my girlfriends, and not many of my family members were there, but my girlfriends were there, you know, to see me walk across that stage.
We are your family.
You are.
There you go.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, yeah.
Okay. Oh, great job. You're so great. I have to change the mood real quick. Yeah, we went to New Orleans for her graduation.
Beat that face.
I know, right?
And when I tell y'all, we had the best time.
Falling off tables. And
oh, my God.
Shout out to Kamara.
Yeah. Shout out to Kamara, who fell off the table trying to twerk in some New Orleans club. We had the best time
and
of our lives.
CeeDee fell off of a speaker that
night.
Don't
get too over
every
weekend. See, did you have to go to the hospital?
No, 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 no,
no, no. I don't know, but it was maybe, it was like 10, 15 of us in New Orleans for her graduation. And when I tell y'all, we had the time of our lives.
It was a true celebration.
It was
a true celebration.
For all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
It was.
Even down to one of her bougie homegirls getting sick.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Because we just had.
Sick or drunk.
So. So.
As you can see, this is how we do.
Great time.
This is how we do. Yeah.
We are your family. We love you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So much. And, you know, draw that face, girl.
I know.
Right here.
Okay, so what's one thing that you guys have learned that's helped you adult better and navigate life in a more approachable way, maybe? Because we were just talking offline before we started recording. Adulting is not necessarily easy. I mean, I don't even know if it was a thing when we were getting into adulting. Like, the word wasn't really around. But now we know it all too well.
I'm an adult. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
My bills are adult.
Right. So what's one thing that's helped you navigate just, like, life and real life stuff? And, I mean, just everything from day-to-day bills and trials and tribulations at work to, like, family things and parents getting older and shit just gets real sometimes. What do you do to help you, like, adult better? Or what have you figured out, maybe? Well, what's working right now?
Same.
It may not work forever.
Okay,
say
for
so
me.
You have a lot. So sex help you adult better?
Sometimes you need a.
I mean, it may release
it,
but the adulting is still there.
No, it's still there.
Girl,
I mean, I would say for me, it may seem simple, but like I just. The older I get, I really try not to sweat the small stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also realize there's just some things I can't change.
Yeah,
and
right.
Mm-hmm. I'm a strong believer, and my faith is kind of like the anchor of who I am. And it's just like, once I pray about it, I gotta let it go.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm a prey, I can't worry about it. So
exactly.
For me, it's just like, I try not to sweat the small things. Like, life is gonna be there. I do what I can. I understand there's only 24 hours in a day. In my 20s, I will try to figure it out, fix it. The older I get, I'm not saving lives. I may be helping people save lives, but physically, I'm not doing it. So it's like, I do what I can for that moment. Mm-hmm. I'm also trying to live in the moment and not live for... You want to live for the future, you know what I mean? Like, set yourself up, but it's just like, sometimes I feel like when I get into that mentality, I can't focus on that moment. So it's just like, I try not to sweat the small stuff. I do what I can, and I just kind of trust that the rest will fall into place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kristen, yeah. How do you adult better?
She's doing the most adulting of us all. I'm responsible for another life. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of crying.
Right.
But that's good. It's a release. You need to cry sometimes. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. So crying helps on your way home, whatever you need to do. But I think that...
Kristen, you cry?
Oh, I cry all the time.
The older you get.
Oh, yeah. You cry way more the older you get. But I think it's just more like Tage was mentioning... I literally try to stay in my lane. I pick what's important to me. Mm-hmm. And then if that's not in that lane, I don't mess with it. I have friends that, you know, I wish we had closer, I had closer relationships to, but some of them I had to release because I just don't want to spend time worrying about it or trying to chase up on it. Like, you guys particularly know a high school friend. I just don't, I can't talk to her anymore because I feel like I'm chasing after her and it's not in my lane.
Right.
So in my lane is taking care of my child, taking care of my husband, taking care of my broader family, making sure everything's good at work. I still have a lot of work ambitions. Mm-hmm. And then I want to have fun too sometimes. So after all that's done, if that's not in that lane, I let it go like Elsa.
Yeah, like, that's how you know she has a kid,
right?
Like, Elsa.
But I'm like, wait, Elsa?
I was like, Elsa.
Right. Yeah. I think that's Frozen.
Yeah. We ain't got no kids over here. Yeah. Soon, but we don't have none.
But the greatest part, one thing to add, the greatest part of being in your mid-30s, I don't know if we're supposed to say how old we are.
That's fine.
I agree with Tamara on the confidence. It is so nice to care so much less about people's opinions than in your 20s.
Right.
I really am not still that person that I don't care absolutely what people think, but I really don't care about what most people think. Because I'm like, it's in my lane. I think I'm progressing. I'm happy. If you have an opinion about it, that's fine. I really don't care. So I like that because it makes life so much more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
You don't worry about what people think all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, like you said, the older you get, like you don't care.
No.
Well, you realize you don't have the time to care and the energy.
You don't have to please
everybody.
You don't
have to answer to anyone. Are they paying your bills?
Exactly.
What are they doing for me? If you not, get on.
Yeah.
Like, you can have your opinion, but...
Yeah, it's that.
I agree. What helps me, that also helps me adult better, is knowing that whatever happened is going to happen, and you have no control over it.
Exactly.
Like, so you can't really stress over things because... it's gonna pass.
Yeah.
And it's like, I, you know, I'm very spiritual, you know, so that also helps. Like, I love church and I pray to God about it. And like you say, you can't mix fear and faith.
Yes.
So it's like, that really, a lot of times I think people stress out over the simplest things because they don't know what's going to happen on the other side of it.
Right.
But the thing is, no one knows what's going to happen on the other side of it.
We haven't done this before.
You've never done it before, so you just do it and know that you're going to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what helps a lot of people adult better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus like when you're young, you just be so frustrated and you just like, I don't know. But it's like, girl, you're going to be okay. Like, it's going to be okay.
Right. Even in the moments when it doesn't feel like it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because we're not saying that there won't be those times where it'll feel like the world is crashing down around you. Like, all your friends hate you. Your job is not going right. Your significant other is acting up. Like, there will be those moments, or there can be those moments. But there will be another side of that, too. Everything will work out.
And I think for someone, let's say, who's listening to this, who's in their early 20s, I know it may sound easier said than done, but I'll say this. We are in our mid-30s, but in our 20s, like, we probably didn't have enough experiences to say that everything will be okay.
Right.
But as life progresses, you will see everything will be okay. You know what I mean? Like, there will be valleys and there will be mountains.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, you just have to stay strong. Like Sini said earlier, stay true to yourself. And it's like, you always get through them. It may not be easy, and some people's lives may seem easier than others.
Right.
Because I know sometimes I find myself like, damn, why is it always happening for this person?
Yeah.
You know, but it's just like, I've had to realize that my journey is my journey.
Right.
Getting there is for me only. And what's for me? Mm-hmm. Yes, and mm-hmm. what's for me is for me. Mm-hmm. So
okay, let's that brings me to something good. That I think is key, because a lot of us deal with it, especially in the age of social media that we operate in. You know, when we were in our early 20s, social media wasn't a thing like that. Instagram wasn't a thing like that. I am too, because then you'd be looking like, oh, you got what job? You know, straight out of school, whatever. We didn't know what other people were doing, but now we're privy to what everybody is doing, accomplishing, seeing, experiencing all over the world. Yeah. So how do you guys deal with competition and comparison and comparing yourself and looking at people's outside picture and thinking like, wow, it's so great and all of that, and then looking at yourself and potentially feeling down on yourself, because we all have those moments. How do you deal with competition, and what do you sort of maybe do to keep yourself going and keep yourself in check, maybe?
Can I say something first? Because I know some people don't have long opinions, but I just want to say this. I'm competitive when it comes to games. Mm-hmm. I try not to be competitive in life, because like I just said, what's for me is for me, and no person can take that away. Mm-hmm. In the age of social media, what I saw, I want to say it may have been someone on social media, I saw they posted something and they were like, don't compare your real life to someone's highlight reel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we get caught up on social media like, oh, this person is living their best life. Yeah, they are, but I'm living mine too. But right. I also choose not to post my entire life on social media. Mm-hmm. Like, I post what I want to post, and 9 times out of 10, it's the highs. I'm not posting my lows. So if I'm looking at what someone else is doing, sometimes I have to realize, oh, that's their highs. But you don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So for me, like, what I try to live off of, like, competition in games is fantastic. I don't compare my life to my friends.
Mm.
You know, you guys are all living your best life in your own lane. Mm-hmm. And I'm staying in mine.
Yeah.
And that works for me.
Yes.
Before anyone gets into the long opinion,
right.
I was thinking it was going to be short and sweet, but I was like, okay, keep going.
Well, everybody knows at this table, I love competition.
Yes, we know.
I love competition.
You got it.
But you know why I love competition, and I will say, because I didn't get to say what my whatever advantage or challenge is, because I am an excellent self-assessor. I know what I'm good at, and I know what I need to do to be better at something, and I can also assess what other people's talents are, and I'm not going to come up to the game or the business table or, you know, even the preschool parent group and try to assert myself when I know I don't have the skill set and I haven't worked as hard and I haven't done my research and I have not prepared. I think that's where people go wrong. They look at social media and they don't think the 5 whys of all the whys it took for someone to be where they're at. And although they're seeing the highs, there's a lot behind it. Mm-hmm. And you also need to understand where you are in life and what you have done to really get to the point where you are in life. Have you done what you needed to do to achieve some of the successes you're seeing of someone else? Really think about it. Because it takes a lot of hard work to get to a lot of the beautiful things you see on social media. And many people don't see those late night hours and the tears and the sweat and the parties they miss and the times they're waking up early and the no's they get and the doors in their face. Yes. And you don't see that in social media, but you need to assess it. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can know yourself, know your talents, know how hard you're willing to work, and you look at your, let's call it competition, do the same thing, you'll realize, I am not on that level, or maybe I am, and I could go even farther. But you have to put everybody on the same playing field, knowing what you need to do and knowing what talents they have. Because everyone does have very unique talents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But how hard are they willing to work to see those talents flourish is a very different story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think just to piggyback on that, I think for social media, your perception is everybody else's reality. And like Tage said, you know, all you see is highs. That's all I post. I'm not posting any negative energy on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm posting all positive things. So all you see is me looking fabulous, doing my thing, you know, just living life, you know. But like Kristen said, you don't see the tears. You might have heard me tear up on podcasts. But you don't see that on social media. You know, all you see is, oh my God, how did she get to where she's at? But I go back to this Mary Mary song. You know, I can't think of the name of the song, but it just goes something like, you know, you don't see what she's doing behind closed doors.
Yes, yeah.
You know,
the one about praying. You don't see me when I hit the ground. Yes.
You don't see me, you know, behind a closed door praying on my knees and crying and asking God to bring me through, or talking to my girlfriends, having those 2-hour conversations with Angel. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, am I making the right move? You know, this is scary, you know. Am I really up for this? You know, do I have what it takes? You know, and thinking about, okay, I'm trying to pivot from becoming a lawyer and becoming more business savvy. You know, my goal is someday to now be a CEO. You know, so how do I get in that mind frame? You know, but all you see is, okay, she's doing it big. She moved from this.
She's going here. She's going there. She's dressing fly and all of that. Yeah.
Lord, she's doing this. Wow. You know, but we got a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard, especially in the space that we're in now, you know, in our 30s, you know, most of us don't have kids. Most of us are not married yet, you know, so trying to navigate not only a professional career, but your personal life.
Right. What does that look like?
What does that look like? Yeah. And again, being patient, you know, with all of that. But yeah, that's my take on it. You have something to say, mm-hmm. Ms. Tamara?
Okay, so this is Tamara, everybody, in the podcast world. And the question was, how do you deal with competition?
You do this, mm-hmm. Often.
Yes.
Right?
You yes. do.
I like how you did mm-hmm. that.
That was uh-huh. how you deal with competition. And for me, I am really the only one here that is kind of very active on social media. I think Angel is very active.
I have to say, I'm no chopped liver. No.
No. Who
I just
the time, but see,
yeah.
See me only post workout.
Right. Right.
Had it. You know, we only see Tanika and her fabulous life. You know, we don't really see the legal side. And for me, I think I try to give people my personal and work.
Right.
I try to do a work-life balance on social media. And competition, is in the most humblest way. I don't see any, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in a cocky way, but I mean that in a way that allows me to be focused. I can't worry about anyone else and what anyone else has going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my favorite thing is, like, Nike doesn't care about Reebok.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so with competition, I don't see any,
mm-hmm.
because that also helps me keep my anxiety levels down.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right.
And it helps me just keep going. I just know that every day I wake up, there's something else I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, with my personal life, like, having a work-life relationship
mm-hmm.
balance
mm-hmm.
is very hard.
Yeah,
it is very, very hard. And a lot of times, like, we only see people posting these, like, wonderful pictures of them all dressed like alike together, and it's like,
that's not
we were just arguing this morning,
right?
Yeah.
You know, over, like, why didn't you take out the trash? So it's kind of like, you know,
balance.
You know, so I really enjoy the social media aspect of it, because it allows you, even though it's a high reality and it's somebody else's high reality, it allows you to see other beautiful things in life,
right?
Where you can kind of forget about any negative. You know, so it's like, I like to go and look at this person's page and see the good,
right?
Because there's so much, like, negative really in the world, and the negative things going on in people's lives that you don't want to even think about it.
So someone should escape.
It's an escape.
Yeah.
So when people, I don't want to call people weak when they can't handle it, because I can't say that they're weak. But I think you need to redirect the way you're thinking about it.
And the energy.
Energy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like, don't let it suck your energy. Let it give you energy.
Let it be motivation.
But I think it's also understanding that this is their highs. And also knowing that though they posted that, there are things that they're dealing with in their own life. So remember and put yourself on that same plane.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going away from social media for 40 days. And it's like, okay, Simi wants to say something.
Go ahead. What you got to say?
No, I was just going to say that I think that when you have a certain confidence in yourself and what you're doing in your life, those types of things seeing on social media won't bother you as much, and it'll help you redirect your energy. You may see someone who is posting their high and say, oh, you know, kind of thinking like, what did they do to get there? And then is that somewhere that I want to be? Then what are the things that I need to do to get there? Because, I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, I had to get off, you know, seeing all these engagements coming and, you know, everyone with their booze. But, you know, I said, booze, you know, it's not my time. It's not my time. But, right. You know, great for them. They look happy right now, what they posted. So, you know, it's great.
I think confidence is key, but a lot of people don't have that confidence.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I appreciate Tamara's confidence, and Tamara's that person that has confidence in everybody.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Tamara is. I don't think you have like hating bone in your body.
No,
and you see the beauty in everybody. So that confidence exudes, and that's great. And I wish
I'm gonna cry like Tanika.
Had that confidence, but everyone doesn't.
Yeah.
So to the people who don't have that confidence, like, just don't get discouraged by what you see on social media. That's
and sometimes you have to tap out. You know, I know.
Take a break.
Angel knows me, and Angel and I have very intimate conversations. Well, I have intimate conversations with
you. Know, I was gonna say, if you call Angel out one more time, I might have 2 hour conversations with Angel.
When I need to know how to negotiate my salary, I call Kristen. You know, she's good with numbers.
Like some fashion shit, I'm gonna be pissed.
I'm saying this because it's been so prevalent in my life.
It's okay.
In my professional career, and you know, just, you know, blocking out everything that's around you and not looking at everyone as your competition. I'm going to be transparent here and say that sometimes I do have those moments.
I'm
feeling like, you know, I'm not up on my game and I'm not where I'm supposed to be.
Self-doubt is real.
And I'm supposed to be way further than where I am.
But that's a whole other hour conversation.
Yeah. But, you know, I have Tam, you know, Angel I've talked to, you know, about, Tanika, you are really, you bomb. You got this, you know?
When I
had to sit down and talk with my boss, you know, and I gave him my career development plan, and this is where I want to go. And he told me that my goals weren't realistic.
Yeah.
You know?
And I told her, drop him like a bad habit.
I don't like him. You know, like, what? Like, you're telling me my goals aren't realistic, but I see my peers out here doing this. I know I'm capable of doing this. You may not know me from a personal perspective, but I got this.
Right.
And I show them a couple weeks later that I was about business.
Well, she gave them her notice, honey, and said, I have a better position. Yes,
you know?
I'll take that.
So
thank
we
you.
We do have those moments.
To go back and thank him.
Right.
You really do trying
to make it work. And,
But I had to get off social media.
Yeah.
You know?
But you know what? I will say, look, there's a positive and a negative side to everything that we participate in, everything that we see, everything that we consume in life. There's a positive to consuming some television. There's a negative to consuming too much television.
Yeah.
There's a positive to social media. There's a negative. Look, you have to also, that's why I say, when you're looking to make a switch, pivot, or quit, you have to also get real with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sit with yourself. You have to be at one with yourself. Everyone here, I'm sure, can attest that they have done their own self-development when they are ready to make different shifts in their life to say, all right, who am I? What do I want?
Yeah.
What does this look like? You have to really get real and ask yourself those hard questions and then find those hard answers, which is a little bit harder. But it's harder for you to find those answers when you're looking at everybody else and what they're doing. Because then they're providing the narrative to what you think you should be doing, but you're not really assessing
what you want to do, yeah. what's right for you. Like Kristen said earlier, she's good at assessing her strengths mm-hmm. and assessing herself in the situation. That's what we all have to be better at, because in order for us to really succeed and excel, the only way that you can top somebody in a certain situation is if you know you are better than them.
And that's a science. That's I mean, that's not a science. That's an art.
That comes
over time.
And it comes with experience and life experience and all of that. But you have to go through these things. And that's why I'm glad that we can have these dialogues and have these conversations, because I feel like everybody prepares you for the education side of life, for the practical side of life when it comes to like having kids and getting married and all that. But nobody prepares you for the you side of life.
Yeah.
How to deal with yourself. Yeah. When it gets quiet and you have to sit there and be with yourself. And that's when shit gets tricky, is when you don't know how to be with yourself.
Right.
Yeah. When you don't, when it is those quiet times and all these things are going on in your head because you don't know how to be alone. You don't know how to cope with being alone. Mm-hmm. That's when it gets real. So those are the things that we're all trying to strive and achieve to be better at, mm-hmm. is figuring out how to be good with ourselves, how to actually love ourselves, how to actually like ourselves, so that we can be pleasant people to be around other people, and we don't have to deal with those situations where it's like, oh, she hating on me. She did. No. You just might not be a good person.
Right.
Maybe she don't want to be around you, but you haven't even figured that out yet. Yeah. You know? So it's a lot of let's say areas to life that you start to figure out when you're really conscious of it and you want to.
Yep.
That's the thing.
And that's just not speaking to single women.
That's everybody.
All of us.
That's everybody.
Yeah.
People on the podcast world, social media, where everyone should really look up the word manifest and figure out how to manifest what it is in life they really want.
Attract what you want.
And once you know the definition and you know, then you can lead with that with life.
Yeah.
And I think once you figure out what it is that you really, really want and who it is that you really, really want to be, then you can start manifesting it. Mm-hmm. And then you will start believing it.
Yeah.
And then it will start to happen.
Yeah. Right.
I think like my life really started to change like once I started manifesting things.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started to really, 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 like one prayer that I always prayed was clarity. That was what I always asked God for. I always prayed to God when I was doing my pivot, when I was changing careers.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I prayed for clarity. Mm-hmm. And even down to my relationship, like I prayed for clarity within that, you know. And it's like, so that's a thing that I really, really believe in,
right,
is manifesting what it is that you want in life. If you want the job, if you want the man, if you want a happy baby, like if your baby is crying all the time, and so you need to start believing, like, my child doesn't cry. Or if your man is getting on your nerves, like
speaking positive thoughts and not focusing on the negative, and just being mindful of the words that come out of your mouth.
Right.
That's huge on manifestation. You know what I mean?
It's very huge.
And it will come into your mind, but don't speak it out. You know what I mean? Just speak positive in your life and then the people you care about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that would help the people that are in their 20s who are going through things and who don't really know what it is they want out of life. And or who do know what they want out of life, but they're having challenges getting there.
Right.
You know, I think if you are clear and if you have a clear mind and if you are positive, things will happen.
It goes back to what both of you guys said, Trinika and Tamara. It's like clarity and perseverance and patience.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those things sort of work in hand. So for you ladies, what has been a useful piece of advice that you've received thus far in your career?
Being patient.
Okay, yeah.
You know, multiple people have told me that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say trust in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And realizing that the process for each person is different.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Pretty Jay?
There's so many.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more about being an amazing listener. So listening more than you're talking, and really comprehending what message people are trying to tell you, maybe not directly or even indirectly, but being observant and applying that to your life.
I like that one too, because I heard something where somebody said, like, most of us are listening to prepare to answer. We're not listening to comprehend and internalize and really understand what people are saying. So I think that's a good. Most of us are listening to prepare for our answer, to get ready to say what our rebuttal is, our comment, or whatever, versus listening to understand and internalize and really empathize if that's the situation.
And that takes patience.
It does.
Also realizing you were given two ears and one mouth.
That is true. So does anybody have a personal care routine or any personal care indulgences that they participate in to sort of, you know, like unwind and relax from the stress of it all or refresh yourself?
Maybe. Well, we all know this girl said sex earlier. So.
I'm sure Sini has some for us.
Sini, what do you do?
I mean, I really haven't been into them lately, but, you know, starting the new year, I will get into just spending time in the morning to just, you know, not jump up and, like, rush off to work, but just spending time with myself and just, you know, thinking about how I want the day to go and, you know, just putting the positive thoughts out there in the beginning of the day, because as of lately, I have been really quick to jump up and just get out the door, get to work, you know, just, okay, I gotta get it done. But I think that it's very important to, like, just take that 15 minutes, you know, or less in the morning just to say, okay, you know, where am I? Where do I want this day to go? And kind of give it some guidance. So.
I like that. Does anybody do, like, regular massages, facials, nails, anything of that nature?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. She looked at me.
Every 3 weeks.
Okay.
My nails and toes in.
And it just makes you feel good, right?
Yeah. Like, I do it all.
We know.
Why are you the last to respond?
Whatever. I love beauty. I do. I really, and it is all, I've always loved it. I've always loved it. It's not nothing new. Everyone knows it. Even if you've known me from a kid till now, you know. Somebody was calling me.
She's into beauty.
I love beauty. And I think if, like, if you look good, you feel good, you are good.
Yeah.
You know? And I think a lot of time as women, you have husbands and kids and businesses to run,
right,
that you kind of let yourself go a lot of times. And when you think that people don't see that, they do. When you think people aren't judging you about that, they are. You know, like, why is your toenail polish chipped? Take it off.
And definitely don't wear open-toed shoes.
Take it off and don't wear open-toed shoes. You know, it's like, it's okay to have no toenail polish if you can't go to the shop or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't come in there with no chip polish on your nails. If you need a feel, take it off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not your realm. You can't go every 2 weeks.
Right.
It's okay.
Stay in your lane.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't put a relaxer on your hair if you can't keep it up. Because now you have nappy straight.
Nappy
or kinky is the word. Kinky straight. No, right?
Which is why I can't get no weaves.
So, because you can't keep them up. You can't keep them up.
So you guys are
going to cut me off. And they going to say really back in. Well, I'm just trying to tell everybody the real.
You know, she's like, you know what? I think you're also speaking from a different kind of experience, too, because you deal with women daily.
Yes.
You see all different shapes, sizes.
No, I'm talking about before I was a hairstylist, period.
Okay.
That's just my thing.
Okay.
She didn't put together a woman.
I just
but
think
you
all
women. In lane, yes. Yeah. I mean, in terms of, I've seen you with no manicure, but your nails still look nice.
Right.
And maybe that's just the time. You're just not doing the manicures right now. But there's still, the lip is always popping. Something's always got together.
You make an effort to be pulled together. An effort to be pulled together.
Almost always together, but the face is always together.
Dang, I didn't know nobody caught me out there with the tip polish.
I know.
Okay, so obviously you guys know this thus far, that we are all friends. You know this. You have gathered this. You see our comfort level, or you hear our comfort level with each other. So I want to ask you ladies, my friend circle, what role has friendship played in your life? And it doesn't have to be our friendship. It's just friendship, period.
Okay. For me, this is Sini. Friendship plays a big role in my life because I am an only child. And so my friends, especially this group of ladies, are like my sisters. So I think that, you know, having them to be able to bounce ideas off of and just like life challenges and just getting through life, being able to call on them whenever I need. It's just...
I've been seeing a lot of you lately.
Mm-hmm. A whole lot. And I think that's the reason, because now you're...
I know.
So that connection we made before reconnecting. Yeah. It's all ties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I go back to a time in my life where I feel like I didn't have a lot of friends. So back to when I just graduated from college, a year later I moved to Washington, D.C., and I didn't know a lot of people there. And although we had some friends from college that were living out there, you really don't know what it's like to have your core friends removed from you till they are, and how much you miss them. Mm-hmm. And it is a very, very special thing to be yourself around people, to feel like they're not judging you. You can be yourself. You don't have to hold back. You don't have to act like someone you're not. You don't have to filter yourself. I think that's really special. And I would say that many people, if they don't feel like they have a lot of friends, that's okay, because the friends you do have, you should just cherish them, because mm-hmm. it is like literally a romantic connection. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have these relationships with everyone you meet. Mm-hmm. And so if you find you have that connection with someone, really nurture it, because if you feel it's special, it is.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I would just kind of piggyback on what you both said. Like, it's so important. I've had people walk up to me and just say, hey, like, you just have a lot of friends to be a female. And I just think that sometimes you can get caught up in the pettiness, like the cattiness of things. And I feel like we've done a really good job just to ensure our friendship. And we are all really opinionated. Sometimes we say and hear things we don't necessarily want to, but at the same time, it's like we know we're getting true, genuine advice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, there is no dollar amount you can put on like good friendship. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just been like pivotal in how I've lived my life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, like I said, we've all had our own journeys and our own paths to walk and live, but it's always nice to be able to go to people like, hey, I just need advice on this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to ask for a raise. Like, what are your thoughts? Or, you know, my guy did X. Like, how do you think I should approach that? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you have to get outside your head, outside mm-hmm. of yourself, and just kind of get in that opinion. We're all going to do what we want to do anyway. Mm-hmm. But just being able to go to someone for that advice has been, like, instrumental, like, mm-hmm. in my life.
I say that, like, you guys mean the world to me because I don't have sisters. And, I'm getting emotional. I know. But, like, it's the realness that I really value, because I don't feel like you said, I don't feel like I ever have to be fake with you guys. Y'all know me inside and out. Y'all know what to expect from me. Y'all know, you know, like, Sydney know when to be like, fall back, you doing too much. Like, all of you guys all know when to say that. Y'all know I have a big personality, but y'all love me still. Y'all know I say, give my unsolicited advice, but y'all love me.
I'm sorry. I met that dope head literally 10 years ago.
Like, damn, I give my unsolicited advice. Like, I better pay attention to that, because, you know, like, maybe I'm saying things out of line sometimes, you know? But, like to me, like, I see other people and I see how they move and I see fakeness and I see realness. And especially with social media, I see fakeness and I see people that want and take. And that's another reason that I really value my friendship with you guys, because I know that y'all real. Y'all don't want nothing from me. Y'all don't need nothing from me. Y'all love me. I love y'all. And we just have, like, we can sit up there and do nothing all day like we're about to do after we get done with this podcast.
Yeah.
But we enjoy each other's company, and that's what I really love, because there's so much contrived relationships now, relationships out of convenience, that I really value the ones that it's effortless.
Yeah, it is.
It doesn't require much for us to get back together. I don't care if we haven't talked in months. We're good. We're good.
It's that thing of, some of us talk more than others, but when we get back together, we have
no time missed.
No time missed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's my turn, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go last. I have a lot to say.
Okay.
You have 30 seconds.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I think friendship for me is extremely important. Although I was raised with my aunt's two daughters, I feel like I was very sensitive, and they can all attest to this. Although y'all see me, I still have my sensitive moments every now and then. But you guys have really, like, made me stronger. And I go back to, maybe this is about a couple years ago, Kristen and I were talking. I think we were all together, and Kristen was like, T, what has happened to you? Because I was so sensitive, but I'm so much stronger now because of my friends, you know, giving me that constructive criticism that I needed. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember in college, Kristen used to make me cry at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
I just got straight to the point. But I needed that, and I am like, today I am straight to the point.
Yeah,
like
you are.
I am like very assertive. I know what I want sometimes, most of the times. Right. You know, I have my little indecisive moments at times. But I'm much stronger because of my friends, you know, and my friends hold me accountable. You know, and I think it's accountability, you know. So when I have those moments where I'm not feeling sure of myself, I have my girlfriends, my sisters. My girlfriends are my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they each play a special part in my life. Things that I didn't have growing up, you know. So, yeah.
The reason why I wanted to go last.
Wait, did Simi go?
Yes.
Simi went first. Okay, go ahead.
The reason why I wanted to go last is because I am Tamara, and I wanted to talk to the people who had their friends removed from them. So we were all together. All together. All my friends. And you know, I have a lot of different sets of friends.
Right.
Yeah.
So for me to have all my friends in LA at one time, and then to have each one of you guys leave me. I'm crying. But each one of you guys to leave me. Each one left me. And I didn't know how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Far as like accepting new people.
Right.
You know, in your life. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to the people who need to accept new people into your life. Because you have your friends who you can be yourself with, who you love, but you also have to give other people a chance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it took me so long. Mm-hmm. Even with my salon family, you know, like, and I'm with them every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still have to give other people a chance. And I think a lot of people get their feelings hurt or they get butt hurt because they invest so much energy into that new person.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can't. You have to just allow them to be whatever it is that God put them in your life at that time to be. And you can't say, oh, these are my best friends and these are my, oh, you just tell your deepest, darkest secrets. No, maybe that person is there for you to have fun with. Maybe that person is there for you to talk on the phone with.
Yeah.
Maybe that person is there for you to drink with or socialize with, you know, like, or go to the clubs with.
Or
maybe you have
work,
your club
or your
friend.
Work bestie to help you get through the day.
Or your work bestie to help you get through the day. So what I said, why I wanted to go last, because I wanted to talk to the people is don't shut other people out of your life because they may help you get through it.
Right.
You know, it's like, because each one of you guys, like, y'all just left me one by one, by one, by one, by one.
Tamara, I miss our lazy Sundays.
It's like, you get so comfortable and so caught up with your friend and how we do things.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you have other people, it's like, no, like, literally, I'm in LA, like, by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how you go from having all guy friends and we at Kristen's house and we having parties, we having game night.
We at the club.
We go to the club. We going to game night. We having everything. We really, we going to masquerade parties. Like,
right.
We really doing shit.
Yeah.
And then it's like, to just not have anything, it's like, are y'all fucking serious?
Right.
Like, is anybody moving back to LA?
Right.
Like, hello? Are
right.
y'all, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm sitting there helping Tage pack, and I'm pissed.
Right.
They're just still helping. I took turn this car around. How's she going to get to the airport? And then Tanika's like, put my chair in your garage, girl. I'm coming back. And nobody came back. Every day I'd be like, y'all don't want to move back to LA?
Right.
So basically what it is accept new people, but never lose sight of your true friends.
Right.
And know that your true friends have your back, but don't shut new people out your life and don't put all your eggs in one basket with new people.
What's the one thing that you learned about yourself this year? I'll start and everybody else can go around.
The one
thing that I learned about myself this year is that I need my sleep. Okay?
Girl.
Even if I go to sleep late, that I don't feel bad about waking up, you know, a little bit later now, where I used to put this pressure on myself, like, oh, I need to wake up earlier. But see, I tried to curb those behaviors, but now I realize that I'm a better person when I have a decent amount of sleep. I operate better, I treat people better, I function better, all of that. So that is what I realized about myself this year. Tamma?
What I learned about myself? What I learned about myself is that I can't drink as much as the 22-year-old.
You wasn't drinking at 22, remember?
You really weren't.
I wasn't drinking, but then I started drinking, right? And now that all y'all grown, I only hang around 26 and 25-year-olds. And we drink Hennessy and shit all day, and I can't.
Right.
Period. The end.
The end.
That's what I learned.
Okay.
So, next.
What have I learned about myself?
Yeah.
In
this year.
In 2017.
Doesn't have to be something big and profound. It's just, what have you learned?
I've been saying it throughout the entire podcast, but just being patient. I think I really had an issue with being patient. And just not being in the moment and being happy with where I've come from and where I am today.
Okay.
I think I will have to go back to just being true to yourself. I mean, I've found this year it's paid off. And just, you know, even like, well, for my work life, for career-wise, it's paid off this year for me. And I feel like that's been attributed to me being true to myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I learned that Black Girl Magic is brilliant.
Holla.
I really feel this way. I mean, every year I just feel smarter and more confident. I mean, this year, particularly since this, you know, Black Girl Apartment, I was able to renegotiate my salary outside merit increase cycle because I know my Black Girl Magic can work. And I think that if you sit and observe, remember back to the listening, listen, observe, you can get whatever you want out in life, but you have to be strategic and smart. And know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not telling this to people that don't know themselves. I'm not telling this to people who aren't going to take the time to really observe and navigate. If you can do that, you can achieve anything. And I really learned that this year. Like, it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
For me, it goes back to what I said earlier. Just, like, trust in the process. Like, in my 20s, I had a life plan of what I thought I would be at this age. Yeah, not too much. So it's just like really like trusting that this process for me is for me and only for me. And just like living in the moment. Like, yes, I want to plan for the future, but at the same time, I have to live for today. So I think that's just something that I've learned this year and has really helped me, like, especially in like my career thus far.
Right. Thank you, ladies, so much for joining us for this episode of Switch, Pivot, or Quit, the special edition Fab 5 Plus 1. This has been a loving conversation, a healthy conversation, an insightful conversation, all of that, and I appreciate you ladies for participating. And for those who don't mind their social media and all of that being linked, I'll go ahead and link it in the description box. You will find it there, and you can check these ladies out and all the amazing things that they do.
If you've enjoyed this episode and hanging out with me and my girlfriends, be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Send a quick little group chat. I know how we all do. Or even send an email. Whatever works for you, just make sure that you share the love. And before we go, I have a special treat for you guys. A few weeks ago, or maybe it was even more than a month ago at this point, I asked you guys to send me your recordings telling me and sharing with the rest of the world and the rest of our audio family what you've learned about yourself this year. So now get ready to listen to some good insights from some of our listeners as to what they learned about themselves this year.
Hello everyone, my name is Marquita. I moved to Dubai almost a month ago to study business. I realized that I am not as independent as I perceive myself to be. Many of the decisions I made prior to this move were based on the perceptions of my loved ones, more specifically in my situationships. These decisions were almost completely opposite of what I truly wanted for myself.
Hi, this is Charmaine Freeman Green of Charmaine and Edwina Photography. And what have I learned about myself this year, or what did I realize? So I realized that it really doesn't matter what has happened in the past or what you've done in the past. Each day is a new day to start over, to reinvent yourself, or to continue growing in the direction that you're going. So even though I've gotten it wrong before, I still have an opportunity every day I wake up to get it right.
What I've learned this year is to not take no for an answer and to not give up. I can send out 50 emails, and out of those 50, maybe get 5 replies. And to me, I focus on those 5 as a win and then try to take those and change them into what I can do differently for those 45 that had no responses or that were no replies. I work in a very male-driven industry in strategic communications, and I manage talent, and 2 of them are males. And men sometimes don't take us seriously or think that our work ethic isn't as hard as theirs, and they're absolutely wrong. So don't give up. Continue to send those. Continue to knock on doors, because it's going to be that one opportunity that can change everything. I have a meeting at Rock Nation this week for my clients, and it has been such a roller coaster, but that one open door is going to change our lives.
My name is Monifa Kincaid, and I'm the founder of Made by Hand Markets. And what I learned this year is that I'm in love with bringing my artistic skills in line with my newfound entrepreneurial skills. I love it. The freedom. Yes.
Thank you to all of our guests who have joined us on the show in 2017. Big thank you to all of the listeners who sent in what they've learned about themselves this year. That was pretty insightful, and I appreciate you for sharing with us. And a huge, huge, huge big hugs thank you to my girls who joined us for a special episode, the Fab 5 Plus 1. I just really hope that you guys enjoyed sharing that time with them, listening to them, and just getting a glimpse a bit more into the people that I call my friends, my sisters, and a lot of times my lifelines. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your year. Close out 2017 with a big bang, and I will speak to you in the new year. As always, keep killing it and take care.